Support for WPR comes from Stone Harbor, a Door County resort and conference center with a restaurant and pub overlooking the historic Steel Bridge in Sturgeon Bay. Live music and event schedule at stoneharbor-resort.com. Support for WPR comes from The Alliance, a not-for-profit cooperative committed to helping employers self-fund by providing data and insights to manage their health plans. Info is at the-alliance.org.
Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, I'm Larry Mueller, and today I'm really pleased to have with me in the studio Dick Zondag, president of the Jung Seed Company of Randolph, Wisconsin. They're celebrating 100 years in business this year. They've had a great year. Dick was telling me a little bit about some of the things they've done over the course of the year to sort of get those people who have been friends of Jung Seed Company involved and patrons and customers, and it's been a lot of fun for them. But he's here today to answer your questions about your hollyhocks or your clematis or your roses or whatever other question you might have. And we're also joined to start the program by one of Wisconsin Public Radio's master gardeners, Jim Packard.
Indeed, Larry, I thank you for that accolade, and I'll do my best to earn it over the next hour and a half. And when people call today at 800-383-9772 and pledge $100, we'll be happy to send along the new WPR water bottle. You can take that on your run or your walk. Show your pride in WPR by carrying this U.S.-made reusable water bottle. It's a 36-ounce sports bottle, and it's marked with the insignia. But if you pledge at $120, we'll be happy to send you a one-year membership in WPRA Association, the member benefit card, which includes dining benefits throughout the state of Wisconsin, the performances and attractions benefits like two-for-one admission at symphonies, theaters, children's museums, and more. Some online shopping benefits, and then new this fall, bed and breakfast benefits, two-night stay for the price of one. That's available for that pledge of $120 at 800-383-9772 or at WPR.org. And Larry, what's the goal that we're working on?
We're working on a goal of $12,000 for the 90 minutes that we're on the air. And to provide a little help for that, a little challenge grant. We've got a challenge grant from a couple of organizations, and we'll tell you some more about those organizations a little later on. But just know that there's a $1,500 challenge grant out there from two different organizations. We'll give you a little more information on that in just a few minutes. But the goal, if we meet the goal of $12,000, we raise another $1,500. And I tell you what, that's a lot of extra money to go along with the $12,000. So when you call in with your contribution at 1-800-383-9772, or if you go online to WPR.org, when you call in with your contribution, you are helping us reach another $1,500 over and above the $12,000 that we have for a goal today. So I really hope you'll call in with your contribution. Do it early. Do it often. We've already have somebody called in with a contribution. Frankly, any amount is welcome. Whatever amount actually is comfortable for you is what we would like you to contribute. So whatever's comfortable for you, call in right now with your contribution, and then you'll feel good all day knowing that you've helped support Wisconsin Public Radio and helped us meet that goal of $12,000. 800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org.
Larry, the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association especially wants to encourage other Master Gardener volunteers and Master Gardener associations to pledge during this time to show their combined support for Garden Talk. It's a unique program, and that there's no other statewide service that offers gardeners the kind of advice that we can every Friday from 11 until 12:30. Whenever we can get a hold of Dick, we bring him aboard.
Get him in
because
here.
He's in the soil, and he knows plants. He knows how to respond. And we look for that in the kind of guests that we bring along to you every Friday. So if this is a service that you use and enjoy and find some value in, why not give us a pledge? $120 if you can, $100 if you can't, at 800-383-9772, or you can pledge online at WPR.org.
And this is an important goal for us, and I think the reason that we have such a large goal is because we have so many wonderful listeners to Garden Talk on Friday, so many master gardeners who listen and actually even get continuing education
credits
credits for listening in and participating in the program. So many Master Gardeners participate as well and call in with their thoughts. And the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association and the Outagamie County Master Gardeners Association are the two organizations that have separately decided, hey, we want to give challenge grants. And so we have $1,500 in challenge grants if we make our goal of $12,000. You can help us make that goal. Without your help, we can't make it, as a matter of fact. Any amount, well, whatever amount is comfortable for you, frankly, is what we want you to contribute. But tell you what, $120, we'll send you the water. It's like a water jug, you ask me. You could water your garden with this one. It's 32 ounces. And it's got the Wisconsin Public Radio logo on it. If you contribute $120 or when you do that, we'll also send you the member benefit card. 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. And now let's talk to Dick Zondag. Dick, hi.
Hi, Larry.
Great to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
And things are going well at Jung Seed, I assume?
They're going very well. We're in the midst of our bulb season, and we're getting sort of towards the end of it. And so... we've got a few bulbs left over, but we're putting some on special on our website. Mm. So, there's always a few left over at the end of the season. But you can plant bulbs up until the time the ground freezes, because the reason that you plant them in the fall is that those bulbs have inhibitors in them that keep them from flowering. And then by planting them in the ground, those inhibitors are overcome by the cooling, chilling temperatures that are in the ground. And then when the soil heats up and the frost disappears in the springtime, when we're all happy to see the green grass grow again, then those bulbs come popping up, and boy, it really is a sign of spring when the crocus and the snow crocus and some of the snowdrops and things start showing up, and then the tulips and daffodils come later.
So. Oh, it's wonderful. When you plant bulbs, is there a rule on planting bulbs in terms of the depth?
Yeah, the depth is usually about 2 to 3 times the diameter of the bulb. So if the bulb is, an inch in diameter, then you want to plant it about 2 inches deep.
Okay.
With tulips and daffodils, you can go 6 to 8 inches deep, and if you've got a sandier or lighter soil, you can even go deeper than that. I've seen tulips come up a long, long ways. The bulb sends up a sprout that stays a sort of a point until it hits the sunlight, and that's when it spreads out and the flower comes. So the reason you want to plant them deeper is that tulips love growing where the soil temperatures are cool. That's why a lot of them are grown in the Netherlands, because they have a very high water table, which keeps the soil cool, and so they have a natural area for growing tulips. But in this area, if you want to plant them in a bed, you can plant them anywhere from 8 to 12 inches deep. That keeps them in the cool soil. It keeps them from shattering. It keeps them from the bulb splitting. So if you want to have that nice large flower, the deeper you plant it, the longer that bulb will keep from dividing. And so the flower will stay bigger. When they start working their way to the surface, then you get a lot of little bulbs.
Yeah.
And then when you have a lot of them in one area, then you dig them up and you stick them back in the ground a little deeper again.
All right. Well, Pat Madison has a question for you, so let's go to Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
I was reading an old garden magazine, probably at least 20 years old, that said to control clematis wilt, you should take a cup of Dacthal with a gallon of water and drench the soil once a month. Have you ever heard of that? And what do you think about that?
I think it's Daconil, not Dacthal.
Oh.
If you can find it, it probably would help with the wilt. The big thing with clematis is to make sure that your soil is very sweet. So it means liming the soil, even though our soils are quite calcareous in nature. They tend to be more sweet, but even a cup full of lime every 3 or 4 years around the base of the plant. And the other thing they also like tulips, they like to have a cool soil. So if you plant them behind a shrub or you plant some annuals on top of them, they really like that.
Well, I've had some of these at least 20 years and never had a problem with it until the last 2 years.
Okay.
So do you think the soil could be coming too acidic for them?
It may be, or maybe what you want to do is dig some of the roots out, because when a plant is that old, it can fill the soil with roots and it actually becomes a weed to itself. So maybe a little dividing. With clematis, what you get is multiple shoots coming up out of the ground, and so you can actually, with a plant that old, cut it back, you know, within 6 or 8 inches of the ground. That way you get rid of all the old vines that are still in the trellis or wherever you're growing it, and then dig half of that clump out.
Okay.
And you can either divide it up and plant it in other spots or, you know, compost
but that
it.
Wouldn't spread like the clematis will to, like the piece you take out won't.
No, it shouldn't.
Somewhere else.
The wilt for clematis, I think, are soil borne, and so you know, if you do dig it out, you probably should wash the roots off pretty good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. Thanks for calling. Kathy and Hubertus, your turn. Hi, Kath.
Hi there. We planted hollyhocks on the southwest edge of our house about 3-4 years ago, planted them maybe 8 or so inches from the house and planted other flowers in front of them. And each year now they seem to be moving farther out away from the house so that at this point they've pushed everything else away. They're about at least 2, 2.5 feet away from the house and there's nothing behind them besides weeds. And I'm wondering what I can do to make them grow closer to the house because, you know, they're tall and you want
right.
them at the back. And I'm also wondering if I can transplant them, which I tried to do in the past but not that successfully. And I'm wondering if that's doable and if so, when I should do it. So any advice on keeping them where I'd like them to be?
Okay, what happens with hollyhocks a lot of times is that they go to seed, and then the seed falls on the ground, and of course it's going to fall farther away from the house. A hollyhock is sometimes a biennial, where it forms a rosette of leaves near the ground and then flowers the next year, and then the seed is formed. As far as transplanting them, you could transplant them right now. Take as much soil as you can with them, and then probably cover them with 6 to 8 inches of hay or straw or something, probably around Thanksgiving time after the soil gets cold, and that will protect the roots from freezing and thawing. Now, mulch is not intended to keep the cold from going down because it will be there. What a mulch does is it tends to keep things static. It doesn't allow the great fluctuations of soil temperature in the ground so that you get the heaving of the root systems when it warms up in January or February. It keeps the soil frozen so those plants stay in the ground. Most plants that grow outside don't have to be kept warm. I mean, they will survive cold temperatures, but the thing that really gets them, especially the new planted perennials, is when they're freezing and thawing. If they're planted from a pot, that pot even can sometimes heave right out of the ground, and you come in the springtime, and the soil mass that you planted in the fall can actually be laying on top of the ground because the freezing and thawing has actually popped it right out of the ground. So, you know, if you're transplanting something in the fall, it's best to mulch it around Thanksgiving time because that's when the soil is cool enough that you don't have to worry about the plant growing underneath the mulch.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling, Kathy. Appreciate it. And on to Betty in Camp Douglas. Hi, Betty.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about a source for a rose. We had a granddaughter, her name was Christine Amber, mm-hmm. who was killed at age 15 by a hit-and-run driver.
Mm.
And to console ourselves, we made a garden for Christine.
Okay.
And I went... And at that time, I lived in Madison, and I think I found the rose I wanted at Jung's because I used to shop there.
Mm-hmm.
I found, since Christine's middle name was Amber, I found an amber rose, Amber Queen rose.
Okay.
It was beautiful. It was brilliant yellow with a little pink blush on it. And I'm not a master gardener, and so 1 year I lost it.
Okay.
And I've been looking for one ever since.
Now, I haven't got all of our catalogs in front of us, but I think Amber Queen is one that is in our Edmonds Roses catalog. Maybe the best way to do that would be to go to the internet and just Google it. You know, put Amber Queen Rose
uh-huh.
and see what comes up. I haven't got the Edmonds Roses catalog in front of me, but it seems to me that that one is in that catalog.
I used to get Jung's catalog, and I have looked for it now for a couple of years. I've only been gone a couple of years.
Right. Well, if you go online, jungseed.com, you can ask for a catalog, and then we have the other links on there, which go to our other catalogs. We actually have 9 different catalog titles now. So
if you go to Jung's...
Yeah, just go to jungseed.com and then go to the other links, and then you can go to the Edmonds Roses or the Vermont Bean or whatever one you want to order, and then you can check and see if it's in that catalog.
Good. I appreciate that, and thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Betty. Thank you very much for calling. Dick Zondag, president of the Jung Seed Company of Randolph, Wisconsin. Our guest today, I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have a gardening question, I hope you'll join in as we visit with Dick Zondag of the Jung Seed Company. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for listening in. The number is 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. And just a quick reference for a contribution during this program, we hope you'll give us one at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. Help us out. Let's go to Sandy in Waupun next. Sandy, hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm glad to hear you have master gardeners there today because I have a mystery plant growing in my berm. And it just popped up mid to late summer, and it looked a bit like a melon. So I just sort of let it grow because I was wondering what it was. It looked real. It didn't look like a weed. So it grew and it grew, and all of a sudden I noticed it was getting little skinny blossoms, like little Christmas tree lights on those little...
Yeah, and you know right what it is.
You do?
Yeah, it's called wild cucumber.
And right. Yes, because it has these little prickly balls that are growing.
Exactly, and it grows like crazy, and whenever I see them, I stop and pull them because it literally produces thousands of seeds, and you know, if it gets into a spruce tree or whatever, it'll grow right up that spruce tree, and one vine or two vines will just cover a tree up. So, yeah, pull it out and get rid of it. Don't plant it back again, because those little spiny balls that it produces a lot of viable seeds. And I don't know if you're driving along 151 on the way into Madison, you can see those darn wild cucumbers all over the plantings. And it's a very invasive weed.
Well, it looks pretty cute, but I guess I'll be pulling it out. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. You know, when I was a kid, We'd around the farm, we'd go and we'd find those little things and pop them.
Yeah. They
we were probably spreading seeds all over the place.
Yep. they do have a peculiar pop. And, because it's called wild cucumber, it doesn't mean that it's a cucumber. The inside of that thing is hollow, and that's why they pop. So, yeah, if you see a vine coming up like that and it gets those little spiny balls on it, pull it out and try to get rid of it. Because if you leave it in, it literally will cover a spruce tree in a year or two.
Let's go to Francis in Neillsville next. Hi, Francis.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have endless summer hydrangea, and this year it didn't get any flower buds on until just recently, and then we had that frosty night, and so I didn't get any. Is that normal for it to... The other year it bloomed in the summer.
Yeah, endless summer is one of these plants that throws out flower buds both... Well, it actually will be throwing out flower buds now for next year. It actually blooms on old and new wood, and that's why it's called endless summer.
Right.
I think, is it planted in a protected area?
It really is.
Yeah. Well, then it should be. I mean, it's not like it's not hardy enough for this area, but it is a little bit touchy. Mm-hmm. I guess what I would do is maybe put a little bit of superphosphate fertilizer on it. Try to protect the maybe throw a single layer of burlap over it this winter, for the winter.
Okay.
See if you can protect the buds that are there. Don't prune it.
No.
Because if you prune it, you're cutting the spring or early summer flowers off.
Okay, that's probably what I did last year.
Yeah, and so, you know, with endless summer, you don't want to do any pruning until after it flowers in the springtime. And then you prune it, and then maybe by the middle to the end of summer, it'll have a set of flowers again.
Oh, wonderful. And is that, does PG hydrangea, does that ever get pruned?
Yeah, PG hydrangea, you can prune, because it blossoms in the summertime, it flowers on new wood. So it can be pruned back either right now or in early spring.
Okay, okay.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thanks Francis. Calling. Thanks a lot. Sandy in Wausau, hello to you.
Hi. Thanks for this program. I just absolutely love it.
Well, thank you.
And I'm going to go a pledge, too.
Go ahead.
I have a question for you about a fuchsia.
Okay.
What are my chances of wintering it over?
Not outside.
No, not
inside,
outside.
Yeah, inside it's fine. What you'll find, though, is that when you bring it inside, all the leaves are going to drop off, and you'll think the thing is dead.
Okay.
But don't throw it away.
All right.
You can prune it back to within six. Is it in a hanging basket?
Yes.
Yeah. You can prune it back to within 6 inches of the basket. You know, and then just keep it in a sort of sunny, but it doesn't have to be real sunny window.
Okay.
And then cut back on the watering and the fertilization, because fuchsias in Zone 7, which would be Washington, Oregon, in that area, actually can be planted outside.
Oh, okay.
But then just kind of keep it going in the wintertime. You don't have to water it real often. You don't want to push it too much. And then next spring it'll start to grow, and then the same thing will happen when you put it outside.
Oh, great.
The leaves and the buds will fall off, what happens is it starts to grow immediately. It seems like, and I'm not absolutely positive of this, but the leaves that are initiated outside have a different stomatal relationship. They're made for a lot more wind and extreme temperatures. When it's in the house, there's not as much wind moving, and so when you put it outside, the leaves are stressed and they'll fall off, but new leaves will be right behind it.
Oh, because it is just gorgeous right now.
Yep.
Hang on to it.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks, Andy. Deborah in Neillsville, hi to you.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 100-year-old barn with a stone foundation that has some, the limestone has fallen out. And I want to plant some hens and chickens in there. I know I can do that.
Sure.
But I cannot find out on the internet what type of soil or moss or whatever I put in there so they root.
I would put hens and chicks grow in any kind of soil. But what you have to remember when you're putting them in a stone wall is that the only rain they're going to get is when the rain falls. So I would probably put a half sand, half peat type mix in the wall.
Okay.
And then just the hens and chicks, when you pull them out, all they have is one little stump like root. You just push that into the soil, and then just water it a little bit, and they'll either take or they won't take. And if they don't take, try it again, because sooner or later they'll catch, and then away they go.
Okay, but won't the sand have a tendency to fall out of that space?
You're putting them into a 90-degree wall?
Yes.
Then what I would say is try and take as much of the mortar out as you can, and you've got to have something for them to grow in. They're not going to grow in the mortar.
No, the mortar's out.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then just fill the area where the mortar was with a sand and peat mix.
Okay.
And then what'll happen then is as the hen and chick roots into that, it'll hold that in. It'll hold that soil in.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you.
Thanks, Deb, for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. Frank in Hartford, you are next. Hi, Frank.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Say, before I ask my question, I have to say I had such a wonderful experience at the nursery this spring. And I'm not sure if Dick is the gentleman that helped me. But
oh, of course I was.
Yeah, that's you, isn't it? I'll tell you what, I've told that story 100 times since then, but for the sake of time saving here, I won't relate it, but sometime I will. My question today is I'm growing heirloom tomatoes in organic soil.
You are the guy that I talked to.
Pardon me?
You are the guy I talked
to. Yes, I'll tell you what, that was a great experience.
Well, thank you.
I have to thank you once again. The tomatoes were so productive, I couldn't believe it. The soil actually has been not used for years and years, and I want to keep it organic. So the question is I'm definitely going to grow the heirloom tomatoes again next year,
okay.
But I want to know what are we talking about organic fertilizer? Is that basically manure, or is there what are we talking about?
Yeah, organic fertilizers would be things like manure, of course. The one problem with manure is that you have to make sure that the manure that you have has either been composted or you know the farmer that you're getting it from, because what happens is cows eat hay, and if the hay has a lot of weed seeds in it, the cows... digestive tract does not have the ability to break down the seed coats in all weeds. And so when it comes out the other end, a lot of weed seed will come with it. And so if you're using a lot of manure and it has a lot of weed seeds in it, you're multiplying your sorrow. And so...
How about horse or sheep?
Yeah, they're all the same. Yeah, they're all the same. If you can find somebody that has had manure sitting in their yard for a year or two, that's probably the best way to do it, because then a lot of the composting has done.
Oh, great. Thanks for the advice, and thanks for the wonderful experience last spring.
So. Frank, why don't you drop me a line at dick@jungseed.com? I'd like to correspond with you.
I'll do that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Frank, for calling. Appreciate it. Sounds like he had a great experience.
Well, we had a little extra time, and we did a little extra for him. So, you know.
That's great. Bob and Gilman, your turn. Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm wondering if I maybe made a mistake by planting my garlic too early. I planted it about a month ago.
Okay.
And it's already growing about, 7-8 inches high.
No, you didn't. It's rooting in real well. What I would do, as I said with the lady that's doing the hollyhocks, probably in another... it's mid-October now, probably in another month, I would get some hay or straw and mulch it, because those tops will probably freeze off, but it's not going to kill the garlic. Garlic really likes to be planted in the fall, and that way it roots down and it's ready to go in the springtime. But they do tend to start growing, and so putting a mulch over them for the winter will really help them out a lot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I had another question about potato beetles.
Okay.
I moved my garden this last spring.
Okay.
And I had potato beetles real bad where the garden was.
Okay.
And they got to be pretty bad already this year in the new garden. But I have a compost pile halfway in between the two gardens, and I had some volunteer potatoes come up in that compost pile, and not a potato bug to be found.
Hmm.
And I'm just wondering, is there something in the compost that would to make the beetles not want the potato plants?
Well, it may be that they were growing very vegetatively, and so they're really green at that point. And so I'm strictly surmising here. Okay. I really don't know for sure, but it may be that they were very vegetative and very succulent, and the potato beetles preferred the potatoes that were kind of going downhill and were a little more susceptible to them.
Okay, that seems like they got on the plant just about as soon as they were getting green.
Now, there is a Bacillus thuringiensis strain that works really good on Colorado potato beetles.
Okay.
We have it in our catalog. So, and it's totally organic. It's bacterium that will take care of potato beetle.
Okay. I'm going to give that a try then.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Scott in Waupaca, your turn now. Hi, Scott.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to say thanks to your staff. I actually had pears on my pear tree this year. They told me to beat the heck out of the trunk, and the pears are delicious.
Yeah, you got to do that at night, though, so people don't think you're nuts when you're doing it.
I had a whole bunch of people going by when I was beating it up with a baseball bat.
They didn't call the police on you, did they?
No. My kids thought I was nuts, though. But the pears are delicious, and it's the first time I had pears in 9 years, so they're great.
Very good.
What I called about is I got a mountain ash, and about 3 feet out I have a shoot coming up, and it's about 4 foot tall already.
Okay.
Is that coming off of the root, or is that something that might have just come off of one of the berries or something.
Well, it sounds like a water sprout. Mountain ash is actually in the apple family. It's not in the ash family. So
okay.
First off, you don't have to worry about emerald ash borer on mountain ash. But it's probably a water sprout, and it depends on where it is on the tree. You can prune it off if you want, or if you want to just let it grow, that's fine too.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it isn't gonna hurt or help the tree in any way.
Well, it's about 4 or 3, 4 feet out from the tree itself, coming off a root.
So it's another tree.
Yeah, and I was just debating, well, do I want to try and replant it or just cut the sucker off and be done with it?
Actually, if it's coming off the root, if you want to transplant it, it's possible to do it.
It is?
Yep.
Okay, mm-hmm. So would that be better to do it this fall yet or wait till spring?
If you do it in a very early spring, it's probably better in the spring. But if you want to do it now, it's not a bad time to do it.
Because I'm looking at this thing going, I've been mowing around it all summer long. I think, do I want to move this thing or what do I want to do with it?
You know, what I would say is check and see how green it is. You know, I thought we'd be talking a little bit about pruning today, too, and maybe we should get that in right now. But if the tree is succulent yet and the winter buds haven't formed, wait until they do. Because if you dig it right now and the tree isn't totally dormant, it may put on another flush of growth, which may doom the tree.
It's got a little flush of growth right on the very top of the stem.
Okay,
right,
so I would wait another. In fact, I think I would wait until spring.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right.
One other question I had is on my plum tree. This year, I didn't notice it until I went to pick plums, but I got all this growth, these black growths.
Black knot.
It's all over the damn tree.
Yeah. Well, if it's all over the tree, you may just have to take the tree down. If you've just got a few lesions, what you should do is cut the hole in the side of a milk jug and put it on your belt, you know, loop it into your belt. And then in the jug, you want to put Clorox solution, one part Clorox to 10 parts water. And then go after the tree and cut those knots out. But you have to cut them out probably 6 inches below where they're appearing, because they do have a chance of being translocated. So, and then between every cut you make, you want to stick your clippers in that Clorox solution to sterilize it, because you can spread it also with the clippers. So, you know, and then take those branches and put them in a plastic bag, or I don't say hide them in your garbage.
No, hint, hint. I can take them across the street and throw them in the pit. But
yeah, get them away from the tree, because that black knot of plum can be very infectious.
Mm-hmm. Good luck.
It's all over the tree, and it's like, I hate to cut the tree down because I get so many plums off the tree.
Well, then I guess the other alternative is to just live with it. The tree will live for a few years with it. So, if you're planting new plums next to it, you'll have to take it out, because it'll get to the new plant either through insects, you know, landing on a tree and moving it, or birds, or, you know, there are lots of different ways it can travel.
It doesn't travel through the roots, does it?
No, it does not.
Good luck, Scott. Thanks a lot for calling. Rita in Chippewa Falls. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I had a problem with my tomatoes this past summer.
Okay.
This was my first year as a gardener.
Oh.
And I had cleared off a pretty large area, and it was a wooded area primarily, and hauled in about 20 yards of black dirt.
Okay.
Didn't fertilize the area at all. And then planted tomatoes. And I know now, through trial and error, of course, that I planted them much too close together. And I also had a problem with the bottom half of the fruit being almost completely black and rotten.
Yeah, it's called blossom end rot.
Yeah.
Okay, how do I fix that?
It's a lack of calcium. So all you have to do is lime your garden, especially in the area where you're planting the tomatoes.
Okay.
And that should go away.
Mm-hmm. And trying to keep the watering.
Yep, and
constant.
The watering down a little bit too. You know, the water does, excess water does encourage that too, because once that happens, then it can be attacked by a secondary fungus. But when you're planting you can probably lime your garden to start with, but then the area where you're planting your tomatoes, when you're planting them, just take a little bit of lime and just mix it in with the soil right around where you're planting the tomatoes, and it should go away.
Okay, and should I lime it now in the fall, or should I wait until the spring?
It doesn't make any difference, because lime doesn't volatilize. Lime is calcium carbonate, and it will mix in with the soil. So you can do it either time.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. And Paul in New Berlin, your turn. Hi, Paul.
Hello. Years back, placed an order with Totally Tomatoes.
Okay.
And one of the sample packets of seed they sent us was something called Heavy Set Jalapeno, which turned out to be probably about the nicest jalapeno pepper we've ever grown.
Okay.
And it was very productive, good tasty pepper, and haven't been able to find it.
Isn't that the way?
I hate to tell you the secret of those free packets. It's sometimes, at times it can be new varieties that we're introducing, but at other times it can be varieties that haven't sold and we're just cleaning out the back room. So send me an email.
Okay.
My email address is dick@jungseed.com. Totally Tomatoes is one of our catalogs, so... Just send me an email with what we're talking about today, and I'll see if I can find either some of those seeds. And then what I would do is, if you're going to want it in the future and we don't have it in the catalog, just leave one plant in the garden where you don't pick the seed, because peppers take a really long time to mature. But just keep one plant for your next year's seed.
Okay.
So email me.
Do they cross-pollinate? Because we planted other peppers in the...
They can, but with a lot of these, and I'm almost positive that one was an open pollinated variety. So as long as you just plant it on the other side of the garden, even foreign pollen, it won't change the characters of that plant too much.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Dick Zondag, president of the Jung Seed Company of Randolph, Wisconsin, our guest here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy to have you along here for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller with Dick Zondag, president of the Jung Seed Company of Randolph, Wisconsin, joined again by Jim Packard. And Jim, we started out, we had a goal of $12,000 for the program, and I think it was sort of broken up into the first hour and the last half hour. And we have a goal for this hour of $7,000, and we've got about $5,800 to go to reach that goal, so we need to get moving.
We do indeed, and so we're ready to take your pledge at 800-383-9772, or if you're online, just go to WPR.org, and you can make your pledge there. We hope that you'll pledge at $120, and if that's the case, we would be happy to send along the new WPR water bottle and the Wisconsin Public Radio member card. And that includes two-for-one dining benefits throughout the state of Wisconsin, performances and attraction benefits at two-for-one admission at symphonies, children's museums, theaters, and more, online shopping benefits, and then new this fall is the bed and breakfast benefit with two nights stay for the price of one. And I know that that's exciting because it's a prize that we give away on What Do You Know? And whenever you give it away, there's always a gasp in the audience. It's like, I wanted that. So you have a chance to get yours by getting your member benefit card with a pledge of $120. That's $10 a month. We have a goal, as Larry said, of $12,000 for the program. And we've got the challenge from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association and from the Outagamie County Master Gardeners. They together have pledged $1,500 if we meet our goal of $12,000. And so when I say if we meet our goal...
When we meet our goal, Jim.
That is implied that there was some doubt whether we could or not, and I don't want to leave that with anybody. So the number is 800-383-9772. You pledge to this show and to Wisconsin Public Radio today because you value the service of Garden Talk.
And I tell you what, the Master Gardeners, Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association, especially wants to encourage Master Gardener volunteers and Master Gardener associations around the state to call in with a contribution. When you call in, you'll be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio, and specifically, it's a vote for Garden Talk here. We have, I think it's one of our most popular programs on the air, and we want to let people know that here at the radio station that you appreciate the program and that you enjoy listening to Garden Talk every Friday. And Tell you what, that water bottle will be pretty darn nice when you're out there in the garden. You've done a little work, have that water bottle out there, and you can drink a little, pour a little on your head if you want to, feed the flowers, do whatever you want with it. But it's going to be a great addition and something, just a little thank you from us for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. And you know, Jim, I am going to have to check my member benefit card because I have one of those member benefit cards. Today is the 11th wedding anniversary of Renee and myself. So
congratulations, Larry.
We're celebrating 11 years today, and we're going out for dinner. And I've got to check the member benefit card. I haven't done that yet to see. We've got a place all lined up. And I should have looked in the member benefit card first, I suppose. But I've been able to use it pretty often. And I've actually had way over $120 worth of savings from the member benefit card. You can save some money, too, and you can support Wisconsin Public Radio. And in particular, you can support Garden Talk right now with your contribution. Martha and Matt in Pittsfield phoned in with a contribution. They say it's a lifesaver while they're traveling on the road. And Sherry in New Berlin says it's the only station she cares to listen to during the day. She can listen in the car, always learning something. And we hope that you're learning something as well as you listen to Garden Talk and all the other great shows that we have here on public radio. But let's talk Garden Talk now. It's a wonderful program. People like Dick Zondag, you obviously know if you listen just for 20 minutes, or even 5 minutes to Dick, that he knows what he's talking about. He's got great advice. He comes on his own many, many times a year. We really enjoy having him with us because he's so darn good at it, and he knows how to give the information in a friendly manner and in a simple manner that even I can understand. You appreciate that kind of programming? I know you do. Give us a call now and support it at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. In either case, it'll just take you a minute, just very fast.
There was a complaint yesterday, Larry, that we should address, and the complaint was we didn't give the telephone number often enough. And can you imagine, in audience services, they were getting that complaint. So it's 800-383-9772. I was really pleased. Last Saturday, I met a new grandniece of mine, and as I was there in McFarland at my niece's house, I found out that both she and my sister, Mary, have become master gardeners. And,
wonderful.
They've done that in the last 2 years. I wasn't aware of it, and just shows that, you know, anybody can be a master gardener. It just takes a little initiative, and they're so darn helpful, and they encourage you to become involved, and they hope, especially in this case, the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association and Outagamie County Master Gardeners are encouraging you to pledge, and if you're part of a gardening organization, to get that organization to pledge as well. We think it's a great idea at 800-383-9772 or at WPR.org.
And you can use your credit card if you want to. I've done that in the past because I always pay my card off every month, so I don't have an interest overload there, and I get air miles, so that's kind of nice. But I know other people, do you use electronic funds transfer, Jim, or do you just write out a check?
I use payroll deduction.
You use payroll deduction.
Because I'm a university employee, so I'm able to do that. But electronic funds transfer, the EFT option, has become very, very popular. You can do that. All you have to do is, you know, elect that option when you make your pledge. Why not call in right now? At $10 a month or $120, we'll be happy to send along your member benefit card. And it includes a two-for-one, two-night stay for the price of one at our participating bed and breakfast locations. Also, two-for-one dining at hundreds of places around the state, Minnesota, and Illinois, and some online shopping benefits as well. So this is a card that will allow you to redeem the cost of your pledge over the next year by just simply using it a couple times. 800-383-9772.
You know, Jim, I've heard you say in the past that gardens need water to thrive. And here at Wisconsin Public Radio, we need dollars to thrive. I've heard you say that.
That's true. And so you can water Larry today by calling at 800-383-9772, or you can just pledge online at WPR.org. It's safe, secure. We will not sell nor rent your lists. Dick may want them, but he can't have them.
I tell you what, it's always a lot of fun on Garden Talk. It's great fun to have Dick with us. It's fun for any of the Garden Talk shows because you have a lot of very enthusiastic people listening. You might be a really enthusiastic gardener, or maybe you're kind of a part-time gardener, or maybe you're somebody who just likes to have a few plants in the house and you want to keep them beautiful through the winter months, for example. Well, I tell you what, you listen to Garden Talk on Friday and you're going to get the answers to your questions. We really pride ourselves on getting expert horticulturists, people who really know what they're doing, to give the advice to you. And sometimes even they get stumped. And when that happens, it's pretty often a master gardener will call in or someone will call in and say, well, wait a minute, here's what I did. And it worked that way. So we have a kind of a nice community of listeners for Garden Talk every Friday. A lot of people tune in specifically at 11 o'clock to listen to Garden Talk on Wisconsin Public Radio. And you might be one of those people. And if you are, I hope you'll call in with a contribution right now. And when you call in with your contribution, you're going to feel great knowing that you've helped support Wisconsin Public Radio. You've helped support Garden Talk and put in a great vote for Garden Talk. And we've got a ways to go. We've got about $5,000 to go to reach our goal for the top of the hour here. So we need to kick it in gear a little bit. And you can help us. Whatever amount is comfortable for you is fine with us. If you can afford more than $120, that's great, too. Maybe you can join me in the 9XM Leadership Circle with a $500 contribution. We'd love that. We've had people who've given more than $1,000 as well, more than $2,000 even. So whatever amount feels comfortable for you is what we want you to contribute. But whatever that amount, now is the time to call in and help us meet that goal. We really need to meet the goal in order to receive the $1,500 from $1,000 from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association and another $500 from the Outagamie County Master Gardeners. They say, we'll put up $1,500 if you can raise $12,000 during the 90 minutes of the show. So we're not on target yet, but we can get on target in a hurry, Jim.
Yes, we can, and we hope that you will make your call right now at 800-383-9772. Think about all of the myriad of cultural resources there are around the state, and you just have to know that Wisconsin Public Radio is among the leaders there, and it's something that is worth paying for. So if you listen to Larry's show on a regular basis, or if you listen to any other programs of Wisconsin Public Radio on a regular basis, why not take this opportunity to pledge for Garden Talk? You know, gardeners are the most optimistic people in the world. You know, they plant a seed and expect a big blooming plant to come out of it, and they have the faith to do that. Well, we've got the faith in you that you will come forward and you will recognize that Wisconsin Public Radio is worth paying for, it's worth listening to, and so to do that, why not call us right now at 800-383-9772. There are people who will take your call and it'll take less than 2 minutes. They are listeners, they are people who have pledged, they are people who have joined the Wisconsin Public Radio Association, which, by the way, your membership allows you to get free program downloads of Larry's show. It used to be for 6 months that it was up there. Now it's been extended to a year. So that's an opportunity. You can also vote for WPRA board members and become involved in activities. You get a discount on CDs from the WPR radio store, and there are some reserved seats involved. And, of course, it's tax deductible to the extent allowable by law. So make your pledge. We hope that you can maybe afford $120, a $10 a month pledge, at WPR.org. Or what's the number, Larry?
The number to call is 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772. Really, listener support is the key to our success here at Wisconsin Public Radio. It's really what keeps us going and allows us to present the kinds of programs we do, the programs like Garden Talk. And we've heard from Tim in Fairchild, who listens the year-round. This program happens to be one of his favorite programs, which I appreciate very much. Adam and Sandy in Fitchburg, it was either Adam or Sandy's mom, is a master gardener. And she loves the garden shows, and I bet it's Sandy. Sandy's mom loves the garden shows, and Sandy loves them too. I hope you enjoy the Garden Talk shows. I hope you enjoy all the shows on Wisconsin Public Radio, but in particular, with our pledge drive and with our challenge grant of $1,500, we really want to meet our goal so we can collect that extra $1,500 in. So you can help do that. We've got a long ways to go, but we can make it at 1-800-383-9772. Whatever amount you feel comfortable with is what we want you to contribute. If you can afford $120, maybe you can afford $500, maybe you can afford $1,000. Whatever's comfortable for you, that's what we want you to contribute today at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org.
I do like that Wisconsin Public Radio water bottle, Larry. It's a very lightweight but very strong plastic, clear plastic, and so you can see if bugs have gotten into your drink as you're out in the garden. 32 ounces would probably take you through a couple of hours of gardening, I would think, unless it was extremely hot, and then you may have to refill it. But it's right there, and it's available for a pledge of $100 on its own by itself, or
just add $20.
Add $20 and get the Wisconsin Public Radio member card, and that entitles you to those 2-for-1 dining benefits throughout the state, some performance and attraction benefits, and then the 2-for-1 stay at the participating bed and breakfast around Wisconsin. That's something that's new, and that's available, again, with a pledge of $120. We'll give you both the card and the water bottle at 800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
Public radio is kind of a partnership. It's Wisconsin Public Radio and National Public Radio. We work together to bring you news and shows like Garden Talk, and I think we do that better than anybody else on your radio dial. So, and we're in partnership with you too, and we hope that each day we do our best job. We try to do our best job every day in bringing you this kind of information you enjoy. Your contribution is vital, because listener support is public radio's most important and reliable source of income. Call us now at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. And we'll be back with Dick in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest Dick Zondag, president of the Jung Seed Company of Randolph, Wisconsin. Our computers are working now. The phone lines are up, and we have lots of people online, so we're going to go right to the phones. And Holly in Elm Grove. Hi, Holly. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I'm bringing in a variety of large tropical patio plants pretty soon, if not sooner. And last year when I did the same, I also brought in quite an assortment of ants. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions as to how I could treat the soil so that I could move the ants out and move the plants in.
The soil insecticides that we have nowadays are not as good as what we had before, but there are a few of the pyrethroids that you can put in the soil. I haven't got my books in front of me, so I can't give you the name, but there are a few soil insecticides, and I think probably another thing you could do is really drench the pots good before you bring them in. The other thing is the insects. Probably a good idea to especially with mites, is to just take a hose to them and just with the pressure end of the hose, just really spray the plant down good. A lot of the leaves will fall out because even with some of the tropical plants, when the days start getting shorter and the nights getting longer, plants know that that's a signal for them to start slowing down. And so many of those leaves are starting to become less tightly attached to the plant. So I guess that's the two things that I would do is really drench the soil well, keep it really moist, but then make sure that it drains out, because you can get root rots too if you water too much. And then with the foliage, just take a hose and nozzle and just really water it, spray it off good, so you knock as many of those insects off before you bring it in.
Terrific.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling, Holly. Virginia and Spooner, hello to you.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about endless summer hydrangeas.
Okay.
I was given two as a Mother's Day gift several years ago.
Okay.
The first summer, they bloomed profusely.
Right.
They came through that winter. They bloomed moderately. And then this year, they were very, very late in blooming. They put out very few blooms. I do use Miracid, and I keep them well watered.
Okay.
Is this something to do with the fact that they're not suitable for as far north as we are? What do you think?
They may be a little bit touchy as far north as you are, although Endless Summer was developed in Minnesota, and so it should not be as much of a problem as I think what it is. No pruning right now because you want to make sure that the spring flower buds are not pruned off. That's the first thing I would tell you. Don't over-fertilize it. They should be in a soil that has some fertility to it, but the Miracid is a good fertilizer for them.
Excuse me. I've heard two different things about when to prune. Some of my information says in the fall after they've lost their leaves, and one said wait until spring.
No, it doesn't make any difference, but I guess what I would do is check the ends of the branches to make sure that there are no big fat buds there, because the flower buds on a hydrangea are very visible. You can see that the leaf buds are kind of small and sharp, but the flower buds at the end of the branch are kind of large and plump. And so if you've got flower buds there, the problem with pruning it either in the fall or the spring is that you're cutting your early season flowers off.
So even though they turn, they look like they're kind of dry?
Yeah, the leaves drop off. And then if it does have some winter dieback, spring is the time to prune that, because if you prune them in the fall, you're for sure cutting that off.
Okay.
But if you want to, I mean, if you do get dieback in the wintertime, then you should cut it off in the spring.
Otherwise, mm-hmm. just leave it intact through the winter.
That's what mm-hmm. I would do.
All right. It's different than what I've been doing.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling. And you know what? Somebody, I'm thinking back to a program a few weeks ago. I had somebody on, and the person, somebody asked about Endless Summer, and they were, that particular guest was not as happy with that Endless Summer as
They're finding a lot more problems with it than they originally had. But it was a variety that was developed in Minnesota,
yeah.
And the thing that makes it blossom is that most plants either blossom on the wood that grew last year, you know, and then you get mm-hmm. flowers the next year, or they bloom on new wood that grows. And Endless Summer tends to be one that will get blossoms on both old and new wood, and it's just a matter of getting that wood through the winter.
Bernice in Monroe, your turn now. Hi.
Hi. I'm so glad that your program is on. I'm asking about Diplodenia. I bought two beautiful plants, and they are just absolutely gorgeous, but am I able to winter them?
Boy, I'm not familiar with it. What is it called?
It's called Diplodenia, Dipladenia.
Okay, you got me stumped. I'm not familiar with that particular plant.
I don't know that one either.
Well, I found them at Jung's or at Selly's, or
okay.
my the kids did, and
okay.
that's the only place that I have asked about them, but they are absolutely gorgeous.
I guess what I would do if you know, you stump the experts, which you have, go online and Google it. Just put it in Google, and then I guess what I'll have to do is see if I can find that, because, you know, we do get new plants in every once in a while, you know, the plant world is as diverse as I guess, the human world, and so you can't be knowing everything. But, boy, that's the first time I've ever heard of that one. But there again, if you drop me a line at dick@jungseed.com and put that in there, I'll maybe do some research. I don't have any books in front of me, so I really can't look.
Yeah. That's fine, but see, I don't have email, or
okay.
I don't have a computer.
You can just drop me a letter at Dick, you know, and just send it to Junk Sea Company, Randolph, Wisconsin. It'll get
at
there.
At Randolph?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
It should get there. Or, you know, we also have very good people in our garden centers that have a lot of reference materials. So, you know, if you're going by the Verona Road store, just stop in. They would be more than happy to help you with it, too.
Thanks, Bernice. Colette in Rhinelander. Hello to you.
Hi, good morning, and thank you. I've always tried to support public radio. And my two questions are, first, I have a mini orchard and about 10 trees, and okay. I have one tree in the middle which gets plenty of light, has hardly ever given us apples. It must be 10 years old. And it's a beautiful green tree, lush thick.
Yeah, and see, that's the problem. It's growing too well. Trees that you plant and you fertilize too much, or they're just very happy where they are, tend to grow really, really much, and they forget to flower. And what it has to do is that it's in its juvenile growing stage, and it hasn't fallen over into its adult stage. So you can do that in one of two ways. You know, the guy that called earlier with the pears.
The baseball bat.
Yeah, beat the bark with a baseball bat. Or you can take like a carpet knife or a single-edged razor blade and about a foot off the ground, cut into the bark and go halfway around the tree. You can actually go all the way around the tree, but I don't like to tell people that because if you take any of the bark out and you're disconnecting your roots from the top, but what you're doing is you're putting that tree under stress, and any plant that you put under stress will tend to go to its flowering state. So just put it under stress, root prune it, beat the bark with a baseball bat, girdle it, and now I'm not sure I can do anything about next spring because the flowers for next spring are probably initiated already, but if you do that, if it doesn't flower next spring, do that in like mid-June, and the next year I can almost guarantee you that it will blossom.
Oh, the other question I have is some of our trees have got sort of, it looks like they've been dusted with black soot.
Yeah, it's called sooty mold.
Sooty mold.
Yep, and the best thing to do for that is to make sure that you clean up the area really well, rake all the leaves and get rid of them. Don't try to compost them near the trees because the spores for that disease will overwinter in the old leaves. And the next spring, use a dormant spray. Oil and lime sulfur, you spray the tree and the ground around the tree when the temperature is not going to freeze for 24 hours, but yet the leaves haven't started to come out.
Okay.
And that should take care of it.
Thanks very much for calling. And Irene in Conover, hi to you.
Hello. Hi. I purchased the Zong Classic perennial border in late winter, early spring,
okay.
And got it in. It was nice. Now I don't know what to do with it. Do I cut those? There were 20 plants, all a variety.
Okay, what you should do with it is wait until the plants die back naturally. Do not cut back a green perennial because those plants, even though it's cold outside, will be putting carbohydrates into the root system. And then when the tops do die back, when you get a hard freeze and the tops are dead, you can either cut them off, or if you want to clean up the area, or you can actually just leave them on. They do trap snow and will keep the plants very nicely covered with snow. And then about the mid to the end of November, cover them with 6 inches of clean hay or straw or marsh hay or something. That will keep the plants from freezing and thawing, and the next spring you'll enjoy them again.
And thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You know, we got another little message sent to us from Harriet in Elmwood, Wisconsin. She says, I'm a new Wisconsin resident and thrilled with WPR, Wisconsin Public Radio. Don't laugh, but I listen daily in the barn where there's a radio for my solitary horse. He and I are becoming the smartest people in the neighborhood, and thank you for some very fine programming. Jim Packer, that's a pretty nice compliment.
I think that's great, and it shows the depths to which people will go to get away and listen to the radio, listen to that one or two voices during Garden Talk. You know, we've got a questioner and we've got an expert, and that's what it's all about. And so if you appreciate that kind of programming, and if you listen regularly on Fridays, I think that you do, then we need to have you help pay for the service at 800-383-9772. You do this because you enjoy the programming and you find value in it, and you know that without listener support, we're in trouble. And so as listener support is the greatest single source of funding that we have for our budget, then we want you to join that family that is listening right now. And you make your pledge at either WPR.org or 800-383-9772. Larry, I know that we had big goal to start with, and we've got a chance of succeeding at that goal. But
got a ways to go. So here for this half hour, we've got $4,800 to raise in this half hour toward that goal, and you can help make that goal. Whatever amount is comfortable for you is the amount that we want you to contribute. But if you can contribute at $120, we'll send you the member benefit card. We'll send you the new Wisconsin, attractive Wisconsin Public Radio water jug, mug, jug. I guess it's a jug.
A container.
32 ounces of water that you can carry out in the garden with you or pour in your head or feed it to your or pour it into your plants and give them some water too. There's lots of things you can do with that Wisconsin Public Radio water jug here, and we're really pleased to be able to give that to you as part of saying thanks for your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. Garden Talk is one of our most popular programs. You listen to Garden Talk, and I tell you what, the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association has contributed $1,000 as a challenge grant, and the Outagamie County Master Gardeners have contributed $500. So we have a $1,500 challenge grant if we can meet our goal today of $12,000. Well, we can't make it without your help. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported. We like to see on Fridays it's gardener-supported. If you're a master gardener, especially I know the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association wanted to encourage master gardener volunteers and master gardener presenters to contribute during this specific time period between 11 and 12:30 to give a vote of confidence to myself and to Jim Packard and to Dick Zondag and all the other great guests that we have on the program. Your support is critical. Whatever amount you can afford, please help us out now at 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. Make your contribution now. It's about 9 minutes to go in the program.
And when you think about it, Jung Seed has been around for a long time, 100 years. Wisconsin Public Radio has been around almost that long. We're about 90 years old now since that fateful day in 1917 when Professor Terry threw the switch and started presenting Morse code. Mm-hmm. And then Hawaiian music, which is great for the cows in the barn. And then we started to have a more intelligent conversation, and that's developed into Garden Talk right now. So we're trying to facilitate lifelong learning for you. If you're a gardener, you know that you can always appreciate some new advice, a new trick here, a new way of staving off disaster, whatever it may be. We hope that you will take that, that you learn something new, and that you richly enjoy the program, and therefore you turn around and you pledge to us at 800-383-9772. At for $10 a month or $120, we'll be happy to send along the member benefit card, which entitles you to 2-for-1 entrees at 251 restaurants. It gives you 2-for-1 admission at 46 cultural attractions, and it gives you 44 bed and breakfast in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois to choose from and get 2-for-1, two nights for the price of one. So that card has got a lot of power behind it. And we'll also send you the 32-ounce Wisconsin Public Radio water bottle. You could get your horse to drink from it.
That's right. We heard from Michael and Jamie in Green Bay, who says happy birthday or happy anniversary To Larry and Renee.
That's right.
It's our 11th anniversary today. And Jamie, I know it's her birthday today as well. And we've actually, I've sent her some birthday. I forgot to send her a birthday card. But fact is, I still haven't gotten my anniversary card purchased for my wife yet, too. So, Jamie, in case you know
that. She may be listening.
I tell you what, thank you very much for, and Michael and Jamie contributed once again. They do every year. What about you now? If you haven't contributed yet, and you like gardening, maybe you're a master gardener or a master gardener presenter. Maybe you just like getting out and looking at the flowers and smelling them and just enjoying them. You probably do if you're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Net. Now's the time. Really, we need to make our goal. We want to make that goal of $12,000 for the hour. We can only do it with your help. And if we get I tell you what, we get a bunch of callers here at $100 or $120 a piece. We can make it, but it would also help to have some $500 or $1,000 contributions as well. Maybe you can afford that. Maybe that's something you're an amount you're comfortable with. I hope it is. If it is, call in right now. And when you donate, whatever the amount, you're going to feel good knowing that you supported Garden Talk, that you support Wisconsin Public Radio and all the great programming. Dick does a wonderful job every time he's on the air. He actually got stumped once today, but that is a very rare event, let me tell you that. I can't remember the last time he was.
They say there's an exception to the rule, and there's sometimes a question that doesn't get an answer. That doesn't happen very often, and so you know that you value the service, you value listening to it, and also you have a chance to take part as well. You have a chance to amplify an answer or come up with something that you can add yourself. It's a community of listeners. It's actually a bouquet of listeners, Larry. And what we're looking for is for you to shine when you make your phone call at 800-383-9772. Or if you just go online at WPR.org and make your pledge there, we will not share your name or personal information. And, of course, some companies that that you are employed by may match or triple the amount of your pledge, and we encourage you to check with your human resources office on that. But right now, we want to make our goal. The goal is $12,000 for the program. The number is 800-383-9772. Why not step up to the plate?
And you can use your MasterCard if you'd like. You can do electronic funds transfer. There's a lot of different ways to do it, and when you call in, you'll get to a chance to talk to somebody, and they'll ask you what you want to do. They'll explain it to you if you have any questions. And I think it works that way pretty much online, too. It's pretty self-explanatory. I've never pledged online myself, but a lot of people do these days. So if you pledge online at WPR.org, you'll find out all the various options. Or just talk to somebody in our Pledge Central area. That number is 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772. Fairly simple concept. You enjoy and listen to the program. Listeners support this service, and it's your chance right now, and your opportunity to call in with a donation at 1-800-383-9772. We're moving along, Jim. We still got a few more thousand to go.
Remember that the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association has contributed $1,000 and is encouraging Master Gardener volunteers and Master Gardener associations to make a pledge. And the Outagamie County Master Gardeners have come in with another $500. So combined, that's $1,500, and we don't want to miss out on that. Why not help us with your pledge right now at 800-383-9772 or at WPR.org?
And you're not only putting in a vote for Wisconsin for Garden Talk, but you're helping to pay for things like the news from National Public Radio, the phone lines for our studio guests that we have, the phone lines for our callers when they call in. Those are free to you, but they cost us, I don't know what they cost us a year. Jim, do you know offhand?
I'm not sure.
It's a lot.
But I'm also thinking that you're helping to pay for the bureaus around Wisconsin Public Radio so that you can get the news from Mike Simonson when there's something going on in Superior, get the news out of Milwaukee from Chuck Kornbach, or any of the other bureaus that we have around the state. So these are costs, and we're paying for our dues to National Public Radio and to American Public Radio. So we need to hear from you, and we need to hear from you right now. If we're going to be counted in this Garden Talk program, this is the moment when you should make your call at 800-383-9772.
2.5 minutes to go before the end of the program. We've still got a ways to go, but we can still make it with your help and with your contributions. Every contribution is very important to us right now. For us to reach our challenge grant goal and to add $1,500, you could be the one to put us over the top. You can say, well, I kind of helped get another $1,500 to Wisconsin Public Radio. That would be wonderful from our point of view, believe me. But whatever the amount you can afford, whatever amount is comfortable for you really is what we would like you to contribute. You can help make the goal, and you can only help make it by picking up the phone and calling 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. Jim, we got about a minute and a half to go.
Indeed we do. And so that $120 pledge that we've been referring to will get you the member benefit card, which entitles you to two-for-one entrees at various restaurants, over 260 of them, and also two-for-one admission to various cultural attractions around the state, and two-for-one nights, two nights for the price of one, at participating bed and breakfast in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Illinois. So that's available, and we'll put in the water bottle, a 32-ounce water bottle, with your pledge right now at 800-383-9772 or at WPR.org.
We have to go away now. Dick Zondag, thank you so much for being with us, but there's still a minute to go. Call in right now at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. Thanks, everybody who's contributed. Please contribute now if you haven't done so already. And thanks for listening.